Poppin' Bottles. Hello and welcome to the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Nick.
What's up? I was channeling that. Remember 90s? I think we talked about this
the Budweiser commercials?
Yeah. What's up?
Bud?
Yeah. Wise.
Nah.
You don't remember the lizards.
Right. Well, I do, but I mean, I was like six.
Yeah, I remember the
what's up.
Yes.
That was more my crowd. That's what I was into. I think it was because I mainly watched Cowboys games at the time, and that was their... Yeah, don't judge me. I was a very foolish young man. I just did it to piss off my mother because she's a hardcore Philly fan. So, but I have come from the dark side to the light side.
I almost had to cancel this podcast.
I know, right? No. It's like the end of Return of the Jedi, where, you know, they take the mask off of Darth Vader, and all of a sudden he feels really bad, and he loves his son, and he's like, "I'm sorry." Yeah, and then he dies.
Right.
So I'm pretty much planning on dying any second now.
Right. I do believe, from the looks of Skype right now, that we are boring our guests.
Oh God! Oh, look at the Skype. Oh, look at the Skypes. Lord Almighty. Okay.
I think she's miming.
Wait,
Vogue?
Mr. Origat? What? What?
I see Vogue happening.
What? You know what I'm really impressed by? She's staying quiet this entire time. Just completely holding it in. But we don't have to hold it in any longer. Please welcome our special guest. Wait, how do you pronounce it? Hold on. No, she can't speak until we pronounce it right.
I believe it's shovel poo poo.
No, that's not. Sugaripo? No. There's no
Sugar not going to work here anymore, though?
Right.
No. Sugalippo.
Oh, there it is.
Did I? Close?
That's it.
I got it.
Oh, my God.
There
she is.
We have one Jess Sanfilippo. Filippo.
Flip
your hair back and forth. Willow Smith.
Yes, that's my Willow Smith. Willow Smith.
Yeah, you're the dad blogger version of Willow Smith.
Yeah. She's the dad blogger version of Willow Smith.
Yes. Yep.
I figured Ryan Hamilton was with his hair.
Oh, you're right. Oh, sorry, you just got knocked out. Sorry.
I'll be dethroned by Ryan. That's okay.
Ryan's the man.
Right.
Ryan loves you, which.
Well,
we.
You know.
Which you heard.
I'm the life of that after show.
Yeah. He went a little starry eyed for a second, I think.
It was highly entertaining. For those of you who don't know who Jess is, she does Sugalippo. I'm never gonna pronounce it correctly.
Right.
You just did right then.
See, you weren't even thinking about it and you did it correctly.
It's usually how
don't think about it too much. Relax.
Wow.
Jess is the sole proprietor and creator.
Right.
And beginner? No,
starter?
I don't know. And she runs Sugalippo.com and does a lot of things like Dick Butt. If you haven't seen Dick Butt, we'll share that.
Oh, yeah. That'll be shared soon.
Because everybody loves a Dick Butt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, welcome to the show.
This is how ridiculous it usually gets.
This is so terrible, but right before you guys had me start talking, I have like a massive booger that's like like working its way, like chugging down my nostril.
Nice.
I'm going to mute my mic for a moment to blow it. They get to watch me. Watch me do this. Nick and Ben get to watch me blow a nostril.
Yeah, I thought you were going to just.
You know what? We'll commentate about that.
You know what? I'm about to hit record.
We'll do a play by play.
And do some video capture.
Oh, there it is. She's
it's
here it comes. Oh, I think that's it.
Not it.
Finger's
about to go in the nose.
Yeah. It's getting
there.
Oh,
yep. That is a pick.
She's going right in for it. You know what? Sometimes you gotta go in after it. You know what I mean?
It wasn't a pig.
That's like I was
scratching.
But what?
I had an itch.
Oh God.
Seinfeld.
Right. Because you sound exactly like Jerry. I forgot. You remind me of Jerry, though.
What?
In a way.
Is it the hair?
I just want to, like, I just want to whip into your house, just slam your door open, like Kramer, Kramer style.
Before you move, you can do that.
Yes. Yeah. I'll probably just
can you
put slot? A giant, put a giant, giant hole in your wall, though. Those that, doors, that would, those doors slam pretty hard.
Oh, hey, hey.
Oh, oh, hey, oh, hey, hey.
It was completely unsuccessful. Back, I dug for a while.
Back from Never Never Land. Right.
It's going to be your screen that it ends up on.
Yeah.
I know.
It'll just be, it'll just look like a big glob of whatever on our screen.
A so. Glurb?
It's all good.
Glurb.
I'm gonna do what I did with Kepler
Empire. Oh, yeah. Yep. There you go. Oh, you're right above the on it, the little on air sign.
I did that on purpose because I'm amazing.
You are amazing. There you go. I'm saying it.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
There goes my all right. hero. All right.
Well, before we go completely off the rails, why don't you... Let's get into some origin stories before we talk about Burgerland.
Yeah, where did you come from?
France.
One evening, back in the 80s, my mom and dad... Oh, not that far back?
No, that's fine. We can pick it up after high school. How about that?
My mother's vagina so many times.
Like, I'm sure she appreciates it.
She's very proud of me, she told me.
So. Oh, that's nice.
And she knows that I do that. Where did I come from?
France.
I don't know where I came from. No, I do know where I came from. It was a swamp in the backwoods of... just kidding.
Alabama?
See, right then I thought you were starting to get really serious. I was like, wow.
You're like, whoa, she's a moonshiner. That's how I answer questions I'm confused by. Do you mean, like, how did you get your
start on the webs of internets?
On the webs of internets.
Yes.
I actually started on the internet like a lot of new parents do, where I was like, I made a human and it's so cute. And I want the world to see how cute my human spawn is, as opposed to the non-human spawn.
Right.
So I started as like a brag book. And we had family all across the country, so I was like, yeah, so this is an easy way to show you the thing that I made. So I started as that back in 2008 and decided really quickly that my website could be something that I could use to rekindle the career I left, which was in radio programming and production.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, babies are great and cute and I can make jokes to this and stuff like that, but I can make boner jokes way better. So it's kind of had its iterations over the years, but, you know, primarily it's always just kind of been a space for me to be silly and say some of the things that are inappropriate to say to infants.
It's like you think of a silly yet dirty joke and you really want to tell somebody, but the only person there is the little one.
Yeah, and he's a tough crowd. So. Yeah. But he is growing up to have my sense of humor.
Well, that's good.
Person that he experiences. But I feel like nice. I needed to disclaim that.
How many times have you slipped? What just happened?
No, it's just that it's fine. This, yeah, it's still recording. Don't worry.
Okay, sorry. The screen went black.
I know. You guys froze for a moment. I got very nervous. How many times have I slipped? Too many to count. If we're going to be honest. This is a confessional because we're doing this Sunday, right?
Right. Yep. Right. Yep.
And we are priests.
Yep.
Yeah. I can tell.
That's right. We're tag team and priests. That should be a television
that
show.
Just sounds
okay. Now, see, you two took it a completely different way. I was thinking WWE. Okay, don't even.
Sharp left turn.
So wait, the finishing move would be the soul lock.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I know.
I was hoping for some super super Roman Catholic 3D. Yeah. Like the Dudleys.
Oh right, yeah.
Oh yeah, we could just be the Dudleys, but dressed as pastors. Crazy. Yeah.
That would be the finishing amazing. Move is the soul lock.
Oh yeah.
And the two man finisher is the confessional booth.
Oh
yeah.
This is good. Yeah. This is good. I can't believe this just happened.
I think you're gonna play WWE later and create this.
I am. I will.
Yeah.
It's gonna be pretty awesome. But anyway,
let's get back to what we were talking about.
So how did you
we're talking about slipping.
Right. Yeah.
Too many times to count.
Right.
But how many times has he repeated the bad stuff you've said?
Luckily it's only ever been in the company of me where I could completely enable it by laughing hysterically to the point of tears. But he's never repeated it in company that would be offended by it. So
gotcha.
At least he knows his audience. So I'll give him points for that one.
Trying not to laugh when your kid curses is the hardest thing in the world.
Oh yeah.
I'm not the disciplinarian of the duo. By any stretch of the imagination, I am the giggler.
Yeah.
That's my WWE name.
The giggler.
I just laugh hysterically to the point that I drive people insane from the corner of the ring.
Right.
No, he says some of the most bizarre and hilarious and inappropriate things sometimes, and I have to leave the... I'm like the parent that leaves the room with their mouth covered giggling.
Because it's just the best, right?
Yeah, and for me, I'm like, you know what? One day this is going to be totally appropriate. So for you to say things like this, I'm just going to let it happen.
Like there's those silly words. Well, which we won't utter on this podcast, but the silly words that you just can't wait for them to say. Because as soon as that little voice says it, it just makes the word like 1,000 times cooler. Yeah.
My daughter decided to call me while laughing at me 6 times in a row a silly little effer.
That was great. I remember that.
And I was trying to tell her no, and I was laughing hysterically. So that would be bad.
Oh man.
I'm putting up quotes that you're saying.
Oh,
Twitter
yeah,
right now?
Because it's just too good.
While we're recording.
Nice.
So how did you get involved with Pregoland? How did that come about? Because we've been talking about that quite a bit lately.
We have written some posty posts.
Right.
Well, Ben has. I just pretended.
Yeah, you pretended to be involved.
I reposted.
Well, you're pretending very well. You're very convincing. Pregoland, I am connected to the producers of the film through some mutual friends. David Milchard, who plays Coco on Combos with My 2-Year-Old, connected me with them. And, you know, they had this great film written by a mom who just found all the peculiarity in, you know, this weird clique of women who were pregnant and how it was like instantaneous friendship because there was that big life-changing relatable thing.
Right.
And how it was like cool and creepy kind of at the same time. So they came to me, they made the film, they were fortunate enough to, you know, raise all the funds that they needed to go into production and get like, you know, attract a really great cast, James Caan and Danny Trejo. And they just needed a little bit of help over the hump to, you know, to finish everything up and spit shine it for the world to see. So they came to me to help them because I've had some experience with crowdfunding films in the past. And so, they just came to me to work whatever rock star magic I could work for them. And so far, so good.
Yeah, it's looking great. And it's on Indiegogo, and it's posted on our site, and it's posted on your site, right?
Not yet. I know that's so terrible. Okay. I'm like, everybody, if you can and you love it, write about it. And right. I'm like, oh, I'm so busy managing all that. But mine'll be up in the week, and so
awesome.
If you guys wanna see it where Nick and Ben are, you can see it on my site. It's everywhere. Pregolandfilm.com.
Oh yeah.
You can just copy and paste what Ben wrote for us.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I think that's a fair deal. Yeah.
Don't credit him at all.
No, that's fine.
Not at all.
No.
And verbatim everything, just word for word.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, one of the perks...
People can't see me doing this.
No. But
I'm Italian, so there's a lot of... You're only getting half of this for fans, listeners. So my hands a lot.
I'll tell you what, I'm really grooving on some of the perks, and it makes me wish I had money that I could help out with. Because, I mean, dinner with the cast at the Toronto International Film Festival, where it's debuting, and that's in September, right?
Yeah, September 5th.
That's going to be awesome.
When they're going to play it.
Yeah, I wish I could be there. That'd be amazing.
Labor Day weekend?
I think so.
Probably.
Is it?
Most likely.
I've never, ever kept track of when Labor Day is.
Well, I'm pretty sure that...
I'm always confused. Labor Day and Memorial Day, and just any of those holidays, Arbor Day is tough to remember.
Because people are always putting out millions of American flags, so I'm not sure what day it is. Yeah.
Actually, Labor Day is September 1st. And September 5th is a Friday.
That's right, because my mom was born the day after Labor Day. Because she's on the 2nd.
And also...
Oh, goodness.
Also, Canada probably doesn't have Labor Day.
No, you're right.
No, they don't. Yeah.
So they don't care. That's fine. I'm all right with that. I like Canada just fine how it is.
There's some cool Canadians.
I don't judge. Except for Justin Bieber.
They don't want him anymore.
We don't need to get into that.
It's so fun. You know what's really funny? Anytime I do any interviews, somehow I always end up having a conversation about Canada. I don't know what it is.
Well, in this one, it makes sense considering that, you know, the movie's...
Debuting
in Canada.
Yeah. So,
it was made in Vancouver.
And you were connected to it by a Canadian.
Right.
Who
right.
plays a 3-year-old child.
Canadian right. child.
Yes.
Right. And all Canadian. All
who,
day.
Who also wore your banana suit.
Oh, while, banana suit.
While drinking wine.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, he was pulling like a Johnny Manziel there. It's crazy.
Does Johnny Manziel wear a banana suit?
Well, he didn't wear a banana suit, but I mean, just look at him. Yeah.
You saying Johnny Manziel looks like a banana?
Yes, I do.
I don't even know that what that means.
I don't know. Hey, you know, it's up for interpretation. So, how long ago did you start doing answering stuff? Because it's been, as far as I can tell, all over the place for the past couple of weeks.
It has. I actually started... answering stuff is a funny story how that came to be. I had been poked and poked by a lot of... Well, that sounds aggressive. But I get around and there's lots of poking.
Oh, jeez.
No, but I had been encouraged by people for about all of 2013 to get into sketch comedy. And to start doing stuff and just producing things and putting it on YouTube. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try my hand at this thing. I've always ever been behind the camera or just writing and giving it to somebody who will be in front of the camera.
Right.
So I'd never kind of hopped in front myself, really. And, you know, I thought, what could I do that I could keep up with and make a consistent thing out of that wasn't going to drive me crazy.
Right.
Because, I mean, honestly, like, who, you know, I don't know how much YouTube you guys consume, but there's some pretty cool... Can I swear?
Sure.
Okay, I feel so much more comfortable now. There's some really intricate shit on YouTube. For lack of a better term. I wanted something simple that I could just kind of, you know, produce without a crew or having to put a lot of thought into, you know, shot lists and all that kind of junk.
Right.
So I was like, what can I just focus a camera, hit record, vomit words that could be funny at the camera without the vomit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then publish on YouTube. And so I thought of this. I was like, well, I am always pretending like I know things, which doesn't make me a phony. It's just like a thing.
A mental condition, if you will.
Yes, a mental condition, if you will. So I was always, I thought it would be funny to ask people questions or prompt them to ask me questions about different topics, and then I would, quote, answer them, but not ever really answer them. So answering stuff is kind of like the first joke of the series, is that there's really no answers that are, you know, educational. They're all entertainment. So I started that actually in January. Was when I first started. That's it. So I've only been doing it for 8 months, whatever month of the year it is.
It's August.
Well, it's going awesome so far.
You know whose questions have not been fielded on episodes of Answering Stuff?
Who?
Mine. Mine.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. This is about to get real personal.
Oh, yeah.
This is getting real deep, real fast, guys.
I think when you did the Italian ones with Brent Almond... I think I asked what happens if you make an Italian sit on their hands.
Okay, so in defense of that particular episode.
That episode was awesome.
I did not decide on the topic until we were literally sitting in my hotel room with the camera ready, and we were like, oh, we should probably prompt people and get some
questions. That's right, because he sent out a thing on Facebook.
He threw a thing in Dad Bloggers for it. That's where I commented on it.
Quick, I need answers.
And we were sitting there for like 15 minutes, and we were like, we were at a conference, so there was like other people to get back to and stuff like that. So we were like, we made them up. And then I happened to get a couple of responses on my Facebook page, and so we just went with those ones.
Excuses.
Just ask a question next time, Nick, and I'll answer it.
Right.
I will.
Heard it here first, kids. Stick around. We'll be featured on the next Answering Stuff.
Unless I don't ask a question.
Right.
Question, I make one up and just attach him to it.
Whatever the please do that on every episode.
Every single episode, there should be a section. It's like Nick's Brown question of the week.
Yeah, the Nick Brown question of the week is
when is an inappropriate time to crop dust? Answer: never.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. You're a terrible human being.
Wonderful.
It is horribly wonderful. Yeah.
When I worked as a waiter at a restaurant known as Buca di Beppo,
did you crop dust the family dining experience?
I'm not saying that when I went into the Pope room, which is the big round table that you have to walk around. I'm not saying that I crop dusted the entire table while walking in a circle in that enclosed space. But I did.
Well, sometimes to get it out, you need to do a lap.
Yes.
Right.
But there were times when there would be rude customers, and I would just happen to be walking in front of them, and I'd hear them. So I left them a little trail to walk into.
You know what? That should be the topic of your next answer and stuff. Crop dusting. Yeah. Just hashtag crop dusting.
What have you always wanted to know about
crop dusting?
See, that's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can have me on to answer it with you.
Right. There you go.
I'll just have to get to Philly, or you have to get to me, or whatever.
Or we do it like this.
Split screen. Really off.
Yeah, split screen.
Booyah.
Split screen.
That would be awkward as hell. I would do it.
It'd be all right.
I don't have other things to do. I don't have children to care for.
Leave them with a 20 and a cell phone.
Oh, my God. You're terrible. But so what kind of stuff are you like looking to do? Like you've got Answering Stuff and you got, you know, a couple of things going on your website. Is there anything you're planning or anything you want to try to do, like any projects or anything like that?
projects.
Projects.
Like the Canadians
projects,
say.
Any projects? I am actually something that was born a few days ago at our house is like a family collaborative cartoon series.
Ooh.
Just still photographs, but so my husband Steve drew these characters, and I rendered them for digital consumption.
Nice.
And then am placing them into backgrounds that match the one line story that our 6-year-old is making up.
Oh,
so he made up, you know, he named the characters Chiff and Puff.
All right.
And so they'll just be going on different adventures, and it's just going to be a photo series or a design series. And so I'm excited about that, because that I was like, what? This just happened. It's kind of like the best creative.
Yeah.
If you work too hard at it, it sucks a little. but
that sounds awesome.
So there's that. I want to get into doing a few more types of video, maybe some, you know, some skit stuff. So that's exciting. Am I the most riveting guest you've ever had, ever? On
probably.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Ryan Hamilton gets pretty intense sometimes. He's the man.
He loves him some Philadelphia, as he
right.
calls it.
Loves himself some Philadelphia and loves himself some podcasting. And
yes.
when the two come together,
yeah,
I don't even want to talk about it.
Magic happens.
All right.
It's like an explosion of magic and sparkles.
No. Not like that weird Britney Spears commercial.
What?
No. That's terrible.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry, 90s reference. 90s reference again. It was a Super Bowl ad. No, don't even worry.
I'm lost.
Oh, yeah. We all are. Just a little bit.
I'm lost.
Well, let's get into the super not dry topic of dollar signs.
Right.
Dollars.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Dollar bills,
y'all. I know that you could talk for hours about the monetization proposition.
Preposition.
Okay.
Right.
Prepositions. Right. Yeah. Never end a sentence with a preposition. Which is funny.
Which is, you just did that.
Yeah. Because
exactly. You said the word preposition.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say that. Yeah.
Shut up. God.
Yes. I was in the middle of saying it. Dick butt.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. All right. Bestow your monetary knowledge upon us.
What do you want to know?
I had some whiskey in my coffee this morning.
Right,
so.
Yeah. We'll just put it that way. Well, it's a topic that comes up a lot, and I've always seen, more than I have seen people talking about their success stories, I have seen people talk about their failures and talk about, basically ask questions like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this type of thing to try and raise money, or I'm trying to do this type of thing to get my brand going. Do you guys have any suggestions? So I guess, are there any suggestions that you would have? Are there any, failures that you've had in the past that somebody might learn from? You know?
Do you have a foolproof plan? Because...
Right.
I like money.
Do I have a water
type
plan?
Right, yeah. Right.
I have a little... I'd like some more. How do I get some more?
Well, I'm in a group on Facebook, and it's kind of like a sounding board. We all kind of like, are you taking notes?
No.
Oh, if only the internet could see behind the voices.
Right.
So I'm in this group, and we're constantly kind of talking and sharing our experiences and our intel on different instances where we're broaching the subject of getting paid by somebody or have interest in being paid for something. And a lot of times what comes up is I don't have huge numbers. The numbers thing is always... really, especially too, for the people who are just starting out and who legitimately just don't have you know, quantity of a following, is how can I even start? Do I have to start by making, you know, $10? What is he doing?
He was just walking like a crab with a cup from Popeyes.
Sorry.
Nice. Popeyes. Nice. Way to just start. I'm trying to be smart.
Yeah.
Helpful, and you're walking like crabs. Okay. So, you know, a lot of time people are like, how do I get started making money? Do I have to just make $10 on a really shitty thing? And that's how I start, is just taking all the little stuff and whatever.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things I always tell people who ask me is that if you build a quality and a value to what you can produce for a brand, you can always, essentially, what you produce is what's going to be worthwhile for them to sign a check with a higher dollar amount to right. you. And sometimes it's not always about getting the five-figure, you know, deal or whatever, or six-figure deal. Six, whoa.
Wow. you are way ahead of us. Lordy.
You know, I meant to say four or five. I don't know why I went to six, whatever.
Hopeful thinking.
Possible. Yeah. Yes. Wishful thinking. So, you know, it's a matter of, you know, that old saying where you wear the suit for the job that you want to have.
Right.
You know, and I get it a lot of times, especially to call back to it with my answer and stuff. People think that I've been making them for years and that, you know, when I made the first one, people were like, wait, what? Because
where did this come from?
because I invested the time and the resources I could to get as close to the suit I wanted to get the paychecks for,
right.
As I could. So that's the thing, is if you build something, and something that you can confidently sell to a brand without being so hitched and kind of like nervous or hesitant or whatever about your lack of native reach on something, which is like, you know, for any layman that's listening, that's the number of people you have in your immediate network,
right?
Or an immediate audience, that you can honestly sell a bag of poop to the queen.
and another really, great line.
and all the quotes.
Oh yeah.
I'm very tweetable. That's the first thing out of the gate. I'm like, do you need a poop
right.
liner? Because I got those. I can give those to you right now before we even sign an NDA. No, but you know, be confident, really, is probably one of the biggest things I try to tell people, is be confident in what you have to produce, be confident in what you have to offer
right.
A brand, and don't be afraid to pitch something specific. You know, don't always play the waiting game, or, you know, hop into a influencer network that will send you opportunities that will probably be, you know, in the lower pay range, because yeah. they're attempting to reach a larger pool of influencers all doing the same thing. If you have an idea that's very specific that you want to execute, and you think you can execute it like a goddamn rock star, then pitch it. You know, do the legwork to find out who you need to talk to.
Right.
An example on this is the first paid deal I ever did was with Lexus.
Wow.
And I had maybe two visits to my website a day. And it was a huge five-figure deal, and that involved free use of two of the models of their cars.
Wow.
So, and I just basically said, this is what I want to do. And I think, and I know that I can do it well, and let's do it. Let's rock it out of the park. And so they did. And that was kind of one of the first blogger sponsored road trips that ever hit the internet back in 2009. So
what exactly did you do for that one?
It was kind of like a two-prong deal, where I road tripped, I was in Phoenix at the time, and I road tripped to two conferences. So, I was working with, an exposure level that I couldn't provide to them natively just on like a Tuesday with nothing else going on. Without piggybacking the conference hashtags or anything like that, because that's just gross. Don't ever do that. but creating an experience that can kind of live around or during it, as a standalone, when you know that there will be extra eyeballs paying attention to you because of whatever you're going to. So I road tripped, one of them was to St. George, which meant I had to go through mountains. And so they sent me a sport utility vehicle model that they had, with a new upgraded, navigation system that I could highlight. And it was very applicable and worked really well. And then the other was for, a conference in San Diego. So they sent me a sporty little highway car to drive across the desert and down to the beach. So, It was, and a lot of it was me researching what would make sense for them to say, yeah, totally, to look beyond or not even. I honestly don't even think that they asked me about metrics until the second trip, right before I was going on the second trip, when they like knocked on my door and dropped off keys to a, you know, $40,000 car. And then they said, by the way. And that's the thing, is if you can make an impact and you can create a product or, you know, an experience that looks like it's worth $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, it you don't have to rest on the laurels of having exorbitant following, you know, or public metrics or private metrics even. So.
Right.
So yeah, that's my smarty mixed smart butt response to
Well, I want to go back real quick to you were saying about being specific, basically when you do a pitch, because that's kind of on a personal level for me, because honestly, the first two or three times I tried to get in contact with, you know, a company or something like that, my email was basically, hey guys, I'm so and so, I really like you, I think you'd like me too. Okay, bye. Yeah, it's just real, like, I was nervous, you know.
It sounded like you did a Mac to Chase Utley.
Right.
Letter.
Right, yeah.
You can throw really hard.
But you know, a lot more lately, and I've gotten a lot more responses. Not a whole lot of more gigs, but a whole lot more responses when I really list out exactly the project that I want to do and what my goal is for the project, you know, what I'd like to get out of it and what I think they would get out of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that is really something important for people to do when they want to try it. Yeah.
We need to do more of that.
I did the same thing too. I did the same thing that you were doing, where you were like, hey, I like you. I'm a nice gal. Let's be friends. And, you know, there's a fine line between like coming off like a dick that's like, I'm all business, so listen to my business pitch.
Right.
And I don't really care what you have going on or how this will, you know, disrupt or complement what you've got going on. Just listen to me and pay me money.
Right.
You know, so there's a balance there of being charming. Which I think among the three of us, we're all very charming people. you know, there's a balance between being charming and being very succinct and to the point about, you know, why you're being charming. And it's, you know, partly because you want them to love you and work with you forever and ever and ever.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's partly part of salesmanship to be someone that's likable. And not just a cold, heartless piece of crap. That's just words in an email.
Right, right. Somebody who's only concerned with the paycheck at the end of it.
Yes, exactly.
I like
because
money.
Enjoy, like, that's the thing is enjoy who, you know, enjoy the work that you're doing. I think a lot of us, whether we do this as like a hobby or supplementary in terms of income or time spent, or if it's our sole thing, we're doing it because we like it. We are doing it because it's something different than going and sitting in a starched white t-shirt and white t-shirt. I don't know who wears a t-shirt to an interview, but some people wear starched white ones.
You would. Okay.
No.
Yeah. But you know, it's less stuffy than a corporate gig, if you will.
Yes.
You know, and going through that whole process. So we chose it to be creative people. So why not be creative in how we do business?
And that is a bombshell, I think, to drop on.
Yeah.
You think?
Yes, I would agree.
All right.
I don't know what you're
Thank
doing.
Thank you so much for coming on, darling.
I would do an accent, but it's just
going to
sound
No,
like,
no, no, it's okay. Sorry.
Irish accent, go.
Like, no, Canadian.
My mom, who did my fair audition for My Fair Lady, and she did, like, a Southern American accent first, so I get that from her.
Before we end the show,
right?
I'm going to pitch what we have going on.
Oh, goodness.
Not pitch, but I'm going to...
Okay. No.
We talked about the Pregoland Indiegogo.
Right.
But we did not talk about the Lazy Banana Indiegogo.
That's right.
Which we have to share.
Oh, yeah.
And this kind of goes along the whole theme of, well, the last, you know, few minutes of talking about money.
Right.
We launched the Indiegogo to ask for everybody's help in getting Lazy Banana Productions up and running so we can turn this into a... More of a, I don't want to say more of a thing, but more of a business.
I like to say legit.
Yes.
I think people understand it more clearly when you say legit.
Yes.
And it's not just podcasts.
Because the internet is young.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There's the kids. You gotta use the words that the kids
you gotta go for the youngins.
Yeah.
Go for the whippersnappers.
I will let you explain because Indiegogo is your brainchild.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Lazy Banana started a long time ago, and it was really just kind of, it really started out as something to just group all of my projects under, but we got the podcast going on a lot now, and we've become a lot more adept at, you know, running websites and, social media stuff, and I really want to start producing more than podcasts, because we've got a live show project that I do with my brother, and, we also want to do short films as well. We've got very little equipment to do so, but it's something that we want to do. and so we want to do everybody else's stuff too, not just our own projects. So
we'll be sharing the Indiegogo link across all of our pages.
Oh yeah,
and sites and everything everywhere.
Oh yeah.
So all you people who can share, please share, and if you choose to care, we would love you to care.
Oh, yeah.
And also give us the money.
Yeah.
Please.
Mostly that.
All of your money belongs to us. Please.
Oh, man.
And then give money to Pregoland as well.
Right.
Yeah, also PregolandFilm.com.
really, that's, definitely go... definitely go check out Pregoland.com. Danny Trejo and Sonia Bennett, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is writer and lead... Is there? There's a Facebook page on that as well, isn't there?
Pregoland.
Yeah, Facebook.com/Pregoland.
All right.
You can check that ish out.
Oh, yeah. And people can follow you on Twitter, correct?
They can. They can follow me. I'm Shugalippo everywhere.
Everywhere.
So. Everywhere. Right. 2 G's, 1 L, 2 P's.
And you can follow us everywhere at Poppin' Bottles Dadcast or PB Dadcast, as it is on Twitter and Instagram. I am Dad on the mic.
I am Brownie_22.
Thank you so much for joining us for another wonderful episode of the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast.
We just got fancy.
Just get fancy. We got fancy real quick.
We did.
And the baby's crying.
And we will
crying.
End it with a crying baby.
Perfect.
Everybody have a good week.